As I mentioned, today is the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. From the note that's written here in the Ordo, this was designated some years ago, but I don't remember it. This is the first time I remember having a World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation. Maybe I just didn't pay any attention. This is what the note says. This is from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines. Since the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has already declared that September 1st as the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, the Council decided to keep the said date for the celebration in the Philippines. It may be locally celebrated, however, at the diocesan and local levels on the first Sunday of September, according to the pastoral exigencies of the local church. Okay, so I don't know if this upcoming Sunday there's going to be a day of prayer for creation or for the care of creation. This is also, according to the notes, the beginning of the season of creation. It goes from the season of creation, I don't know who designated this, maybe the Pope himself. It goes from September 1st up until October 4th, Feast of St. Francis of Assisi. I've heard of that. Maybe in some years past, the diocese had some activities for the season of care for creation, but I never pay any attention to those things. So I wouldn't even know what it was if I hadn't seen it in the note this morning. I'd like to point out that there's something significant here. This is not the World Day of Prayer for Creation. It's the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, which I think is a significant difference. We're not simply worshiping creation or praying for creation. Creation is inanimate matter. Creation is God's business, but we have responsibility to care for creation. So when we say this is World Day of Prayer for the care of creation, what we're doing is we're praying that we do our job properly. And I think that's much more fitting for a Christian than to simply pray for creation. Pray for creation. Creation's already in the hands of God. What do we have to pray for creation for? What we have to pray for is for us, that we do our part, because we're the free creatures that might not cooperate with God, whereas the rest of creation, aside from angels, I mean, angels and human persons are free. But anything that's not free automatically does the will of God, because God made it to do what it does. Animals, plants, and rocks, minerals, water, it just does what it's supposed to do. But we don't. So that's why we need to pray for the care of creation, meaning ourselves. And that's why I chose for this Mass the Mass for the Sanctification of Human Labor. As I said, here in the Roman Missal, there isn't any Mass for creation. And I'm glad there isn't, because there's no need for that. What there's a need for is sanctification of human labor. And human labor is care for creation, and especially care for one another. So that's, I think, an important emphasis today. This is why I distinguish it from, for example, Earth Day. You've heard of Earth Day? I think it's in March or April. And Earth Hour, which, again, I never pay attention to these things, because in Earth Day, this is when the secular world says, okay, we're going to honor the Earth. And sometimes you get the impression that the human person is the problem, as if creation would be fine without us. That's not a Christian understanding. God, if you look at the Bible, creation is incomplete without us and has been entrusted to our care. So if we don't do our job, then creation goes a little wild. But in Earth Day, especially in the Earth Hour, I don't know exactly the rules here, but I think everybody is supposed to turn off all their lights and all their fans and just sit in the dark for an hour. And that's supposed to be good. By doing that, if everyone in the whole world turned off all their lights and fans and gadgets, computers, for 1 hour, it would save, a million tons of carbon dioxide or something like that in the atmosphere. fine. But just sitting in the dark for an hour is not that significant in the spiritual life. Now, I've seen in years past at the Earth Hour, because it's Saturday evening, usually Saturday evening, I've seen people get together, have a few beers, you know, sit together and spend time, you know, developing family life or friendship or neighborhood. Now, that is really good. You spend an hour without phones, without interruptions, without gadgets, and just share life together. That's very good. I think that's a good use of Earth Hour. But just to sit in the dark without your fan, without your phone, well, okay, but that's not so different. Okay, so you see the distinction here. The human person is the pinnacle of creation and has responsibility for creation. Now, perhaps the reason why we haven't had much focus on the World Day of Prayer for creation lately is because we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I think rightly, our focus has been on care for the sick, care for the elderly, care for the healthcare workers, the frontliners. You know, imagine here in Metro Manila alone, there are millions of face shields, all made of plastic. Well, that's bad for creation. Well, who cares? Let's take care of ourselves. Let's take care of our health workers. So PPEs and face masks and things, they're probably bad for creation. They're going to end up in the landfill someday. Well, that's so what? Persons are more important. Well, that's I think right that we focus on taking care of each other, especially the vulnerable. Now, care for creation is also to care for one another, because you know when the environment breaks down, we all suffer, especially the poor. And no one who lives in Metro Manila has to be told that. All you have to do is look at any waterway or any roadside, and you see garbage and pollution and degradation of creation everywhere. Air pollution, I mean, it's right in front of our face all the time. So the Pope is right in emphasizing this. Now, I have to admit, I had a bit of a Father Francis moment this morning. You might not know this, but Father Francis, in the old days, sometimes he would prepare his homily on the wrong readings. We didn't have the Annum Way then. There wasn't anything to tell you on this day, these are the readings. So he would, you know, have to look in his missal, and maybe he wouldn't notice that it was a feast day or something, and he would prepare. And then he'd get to the Mass and realize he had hope. And he used to work very hard on his homilies. Get up early, he'd have stacks of books, he'd have pages of circles and things written on his notes. So he'd have to adjust, and he would. He would adjust to the readings of the day, but... Anyway, last night I didn't know it until today, I looked at the reading for tomorrow, which is about the miraculous catch of fish. Peter in the boat and the miraculous catch of fish and Peter falling to Jesus' knees saying, leave me, I'm a sinful man. And I had a whole, I started to develop a reflection on that in relation to care for creation. Fishing, you know, Jesus, control over creation, the waters of the sea, the fish, and then becoming fishers of men. I had a whole homily there until about an hour and a half ago. I looked at the readings and discovered that's not the reading for today. Today's the reading about Jesus healing the sick of Capernaum, especially Simon's mother-in-law, and then the many sick people and possessed people. And then the next day, he goes away to preach the gospel. So it doesn't seem to have much to do with creation. It has to do with human persons again, the people who are sick or possessed. Well, this is what I'd like to emphasize. Jesus' mission, he says at the end of the gospel, his mission is not primarily to heal the sick. It's part of his work. He heals the sick. But that's not the main reason why he came. He says, I must go to other towns to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. So he has something higher than physical restoration. I connect this to the care for creation because, yes, we're responsible to care for creation, but we're also responsible and even more responsible for the kingdom of God. We can accept the world's concern for the environment, and we should be united even with non-believers in caring for creation. But we have a task that non-believers don't know about. It's much greater, more important, and has eternal consequences. Even if we restore creation to the Garden of Eden, if people don't go to heaven, we haven't done our job. There's no heaven on earth. No matter how beautiful we make our parks and waterways, we have something more. So that's what we should be focusing on. Now, that brings me to my remembrance of the encyclical of the Pope, Pope Francis, on creation, Laudato Si, came out about 5 or 6 years ago. I have to confess, I couldn't even finish reading it. Nothing against the Pope. I don't even disagree with him for the most part, but it was boring. Because all he does, for the most part, he's talking about things everybody's talking about. You can get the same message on CNN or look up anything online about creation and, you know, science and what things have to be done differently. Turn off your air conditioners and all that. So I couldn't even finish it. And as I reflected on that this morning and last night, I said, well, why was that boring? I mean, it's an encyclical letter of the Pope. And I mean, here's a concern about something that really affects us all. This is our common home. And what struck me is there's a big difference between the word of man and the word of God, between what appeals to our reason and what stirs us to faith. I found for the most talk about creation, for the most part, is not inspiring. I just don't find it that interesting. I'm not against creation, but I'm not dedicating my life to save the earth. I think we dedicate our lives to save souls, to save people for eternal life. So when Jesus makes this distinction, I'm not here simply to heal people. I'm here to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That's the same distinction. Yes, it's great to heal people. That's a very important work. And we do dedicate ourselves to the sick. But there's more. There's the kingdom of God. I look at what's in today's first reading. Paul, this is the beginning of his letter to the Colossians. He addresses the Colossians as the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, the holy ones. In old translations, it used to say the saints. He's addressing his fellow believers as the saints, the holy ones. He gives thanks to God for them. He prays for them. We have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones, again, the saints again, meaning one another, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. So he's talking to people who have their eyes set on something beyond this world. Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. The word of truth is what gives us hope of eternal life. The word of man, even if it's true and good and scientifically correct, does not give us hope of eternal life. It just gives us knowledge. You see the difference? So Paul is saying, you have this hope because you have received the word of truth. Now that's the divine word, the inspired word. Just as it has come to you, just as in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing. He's not talking about plants growing in a healthy environment. He's talking about the word growing. He's talking about the gospel growing. So that among you, from the day you heard it and came to know the truth, the grace of God in truth as you learned it, etc., etc. Okay, so in other words, Paul is writing to people who are on fire with grace, with faith, and they're participating in the spread of this divine seed. It makes me think again about what the words we took from Pope Francis a couple times already this week about holiness as an expanding force. Holiness is what is what flows from God, impacts us, transforms us, and then we're invited to participate in that spread of holiness. That's the environment that we're really called to foster. So we do have care for creation. Yes, 100%. We have care for creation, and we're doing a bad job of it. So the Pope is right to call us out on it. Like I say, all you have to do is look around Metro Manila, and you can see that we're not doing a good job of caring for creation. But more, even more important than that, as important that as that is, even more important than that is the care for the human person, made in the image of God. Care for souls, to inspire people, or to be an instrument of this wave of grace of holiness for the transformation of the world. If people are responding to God, then they will take care of his creation. If we eliminate God from the picture, we'll never get it straight about creation. So we pray today for the care of creation, which means care especially, it means conversion for us who are responsible. So with that in mind, we ask the Lord to give us the grace to follow him, to build up the kingdom here on earth, to be instruments of holiness for everyone.